Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke. You may notice that I have pulled the page number off of the bulletin, partly because we have a couple of different editions of the Pew Bibles and the page numbers don't always match up. And plus, our Pew Bibles are Common English and I read New Revised Standard Version. So anyway, today's gospel text is from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to invite you to stand in body or spirit in a posture of receiving the good news this morning as I read from the 12th chapter, starting with verse 49. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful Sunday morning, as we hear this gospel text and these really hard words from Jesus about how he was going to bring fire to kindle it, to cause division in family ties, and to call us out when we live hypocritically. In our last Sunday of reflecting on what it means to be peacemakers and the anxiety that often rules the day, God, pour your spirit upon us. Grant us peace and open minds and hearts to hear what you would have us hear this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So oftentimes when I think about house divided, it makes me think of those front license plates on North Carolina cars that say house divided, and one side might be Carolina and the other side might be Wolfpack, or maybe Duke versus Carolina. You don't see that combination very often. You know, but there is something, there's this tangible sense that, you know, one person is leaning on one side, and I'm talking about sports, we are getting close to college football season, and then there's somebody who's cheering for somebody else. And often what I hear, and maybe y'all have done the same, is we cheer for everybody who's playing against the team we don't like. Am I right? That's the kind of fanship that you have, right? Like, you're going to root for your team, and whoever your division is, your collegiate enemy, your, what's the, huh? Rival, thank you. Your rival, you like any team that's beating them, right? But ultimately, you have this this deep-rooted affinity to that one special team, right? And you may slap those magnets on your car or wear your gear. I mean, true admission, when I was at Duke in Divinity School, I would wear my Hokie colors on Fridays just to make sure everybody knew it was Hokie Fridays and not Duke Fridays. But anyway, I digress. And it really, you know, is a silly way of thinking about division, right? Because that's something that's tangible, but yet is not life-threatening, right? It can be a fun thing, but not really. It's not going to, well, I'm going to hope that in most households it doesn't cause strife and argument and conflict, right? However, there are things that may cause strife and conflict in our families, particularly as we ground ourselves within the family of God, right? And particularly when we think about the words of Jesus, where Jesus was teaching some really hard things. Jesus leaning in and reinterpreting and reimagining those Old Testament scriptures that were his holy text that specifically called out against the religious institutions and called out against the powers, the Roman Empire, those that were trying to oppress those that were the weakest on the margins, the overlooked, the uncared for. Jesus was speaking to all of that. And then when we hear about how he came to bring division, he was bringing division so that those who chose to follow him would be set apart, would be distinguishable from those in the general population, calling them to live to a higher standard, one set by God and attuned to one truth, love, that God is a God of love, loved us, and therefore we are to love one another. So when we think about this fire and this kindle, it also makes me think about how we can see that as refining fire, right? Have any of y'all gone and visited a steel manufacturing plant? Sue has. John has. So as a material science engineer, one of the things that we did is we looked at metallurgy, right? And you would know that based on your steel construction, you would have certain quantities of additives in order to achieve certain strengths in that steel. But in order to form and shape the steel into I-beams or whatever, rods, whatever it needed to be, you needed to get those metals, those elements, heated to incredibly high temperatures in order that they would be able to be poured. But what would happen is in this mixture of metal, you would have what you would want in the bottom and you'd get what it was called slag on the top. It was all the waste components that were impurities to achieve the strength that you wanted in your steel, and that had to be taken off the top in order for you to end up with the product that you were trying to make, right? Those impurities, the slag. And I also think about sometimes, and this is maybe, you know, that's a very scientific way, but for those of you who make turkeys at holidays and you squeeze all the drippings from the turkey into a cup or something, and it begins to separate, right? So that the rich flavor juices are in the bottom, and then the fats and the oils that you may not necessarily want to use is at the top, right? And you can kind of skim that off or go deep to get the really good parts of that turkey making process. Anybody hungry? You're welcome. Because that's what I use to make my gravy, right? Because that is where all the deliciousness is, that there are good things that come out of that concentrated bit, and you've taken off the impurities. And I think that's often what it's like to be in this faith community, right? That individually, at the core of who we are image bearers of the divine, that we were all created in the image of God, that we were wonderfully and fearfully crafted in the wombs of our mothers. And meant to live a life of peace and joy and love and kindness, right? And then life intercedes and we start to build up this junk, right? The slag, the undesirable impurities of our life because we've either had hard conversations with someone or something has happened and it just sits there and we're like, what do we do with this? How do we make a forward motion to live into what God has called us to, right? Because those impurities, those life circumstances could be barriers to us being fully embodied peacemakers in the world, right? And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about those places where he is going to separate us to be attuned to what God is asking of us and not to the standards of the world, right? And so sometimes we can be divided. Yeah? Divided individually, divided as a community. I guarantee you, if I did a count, there would be that many different life experiences and embodiment of the divine image of God. And we come here not because we're perfect. We don't come here because we have all the answers. We don't come here because we want to say, oh, I went to church and therefore I've dealt with all my stuff. I'm better than everybody else. Have you ever heard that before? Well, I went to church this Sunday, so bless your heart. That's not what we're about, friends. And that's a very hard truth. We come here because we're broken. We come here because we have all sinned. We come here because we stand in the need of God's grace. We come because we want to experience peace in our lifetimes. We want to be part of peace in the world, and we see that. And then we can intercede and be part of building that community. My dad this week sent me probably I don't think I'd ever seen it before, but it was 5 years ago that some online influencer was pretending to be Satan and calling God and saying, hey, God, you know, when we decided to divide heaven and earth and what was going to be my area of expertise and your area of expertise, you know what, God, your people have missed the message. They're not being very kind to one another. They're causing division based on skin color. Or they're causing division based on who they are, their positions, their powers. Now, I've extrapolated this because the term that was used in the video is actually racist. Your Christians are being racist. And Satan was saying, God, that was my piece, but your people are doing it too. That's the division that we're talking about. Because ultimately, friends, if we are meant to be peacemakers in the world, we have to own our stuff. We have to recognize where we don't fully live into what God is asking of us. Whatever those division lines are, and I got to be honest with you, there are a lot of divisions right now. And I don't know about you, but I am overwhelmed and thinking, how can I make a difference? What power do I have to change things? Because at the core of that is a recognition that everyone deserves to be loved and seen as divine image bearers of God, to experience grace and mercy and love. If y'all have some answers, let me know, because I am in that anxious freeze spot because I don't know the path forward and I don't want to go backwards. I truly want to be a peacemaker of God for God. And I hope that you do too. when our anxiety rules the day and Satan is calling God to say, hey, get your people back in line. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to be back on that path of caring for the lost, the least, and the last. Of not having the earthly divisions, but rather to build unity as a whole, as God's beloved family. It is hard work because we have to admit our own parts and how maybe we haven't lived into that fully. And then we have to admit as a community of faith, as a church, where have we not lived into that fullness? Where can we begin to do that hard work of naming and claiming those places? To remove the impurities, to remove the slag from the top so that when we go out into the world, our embodiment, our lived lives will not be in contradiction to our identity as followers of Jesus. It will exemplify God's love in us and through us as blessed peacemakers into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.